Hello. Hey, I'm Alex Grubard. This is Waiting Out the Stone, the podcast. We're hanging out with our producer, Kieran, today.
Hey.
Kieran, how you doing?
I'm good, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like, much appreciated. You came on the podcast a couple episodes ago, start of season three, helping us out. Yeah, and I figured this would be a fun time just to, like, get to know you, you know, for anybody too, right? I need
I
to get
it.
To know
Thanks
you more.
Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, sure, same.
Come on. Yeah, we were chatting some. Yeah, you're originally from New York, right?
Yeah, I'm from the Hudson Valley in New York, and I've been living in the city for about like 14 years or so now.
That's so crazy, man. What time exactly do you feel you became a New Yorker? I mean, I guess you were Hudson Valley. You're a New Yorker. Don't get me wrong.
I'm like a New York Stater, I guess, right?
You know?
But like, I don't know. I still don't know if I like would fully consider myself a true New Yorker. You know,
14 years, not enough. Really?
I don't know. I think it depends who you ask, honestly. You know, some say 10, some say 20, some say it'll never happen, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I remember hearing people, it's two, and then, you know, it's really fast, and then you signed at least twice, and then it's like, no, it's seven. Obviously, everybody knows that. And you hit seven, they're like 11 at least, maybe 12, 11 and a half, really. It never ends. I mean, I think you can, I've been thinking about it lately, because my family's from the city. You know, and I was born in the city and stuff, New York City, the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like we're New Yorkers, we're nomadic. We're all over the place. You never, I mean, I don't know if any of us have lived in an apartment in New York City for more than 5 years, you know, even my dad probably has. I know he has, but like, really, it's hard to keep a home base in New York City.
You're right. I think the longest I've been in one apartment was probably like 3 years, I think, is maybe my max out of 14. So, you know, do the math. That's got to be in quite a number of apartments in 14 years.
Yeah. My longest apartment was 3 years in Philadelphia. So a tough part of New York, really. That was the only part I could find, really. But, I loved it there, too. Yeah. But, yes, so you've been living in New York City for 14 years, always the same borough?
No, I lived in Manhattan for a stint when I started college, and then just for like a semester, and then I moved out and lived in like Ridgewood, Queens for a couple years, and moved over into Bushwick for a few years. And I've been in Manhattan for like 6 or some odd years at this point now, and I'm all the way uptown in Inwood, but me and my partner were... Go ahead.
Are you one of those people that doesn't leave the island?
No, I am always in Brooklyn. It's really frustrating. I'm like always on the train. And I was just going to say, like, you beat me to the punch, you know. I think we're going to end up moving to Brooklyn probably in like a year or something like that.
Whoa, man. So you'll have crossed off at least three boroughs, really. Well, you were in Bushwick. Yeah. That's Brooklyn, you know, too.
Yeah.
But you're in like, Ridgewood Queens.
I guess that's technically Queens, right? Yeah. So Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn. Yeah. And then, like, you know, my father-in-law, he has an apartment in the Bronx, and me and my partner like to travel a lot. So anytime we'd come back, we'd be subletting our apartment. We usually crash at their place in the Bronx, too. So I feel like I have some familiarity with at least those four.
Whoa. That's really cool. I like that idea. And coming from the Hudson Valley, like both like Brooklyn, Queens, you're basically in Long Island. And let's be real.
It's true.
And the Bronx, you're basically you're basically in Westchester. You're kind of, and you could maybe start calling Westchester towards the Hudson Valley. I don't know.
Some do. You're right. Yeah. Technically, I think it is.
What was your Hudson Valley town like? What town are you from?
Yeah, it's this town called Warwick, and it's like right on the border of Jersey. So if you're in New York City, it's upstate New York. But if I was talking to someone from like Syracuse, they'd say, there's no way in hell I'm from upstate New York.
Right.
I'm from like downstate or something, right? So it's this cute little town. And a lot of folks go there for like apple picking about this time of year in like late September. There's a lot of orchards and stuff there. It's in the metropolitan area, but like the very edge of it, like the last stop.
Is it Rockland County?
It's Orange County.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. Well, so you have a connection to Syracuse, the orange thing. That's cool though. It's like a beautiful. I think I'm going apple picking this weekend.
Where are you going?
We are going to like somewhere. It's like an hour north. It's like straight north from where
in New York.
Well, I live in Jersey City, so it's it's in New York State.
Got it.
Yeah, I got family in Connecticut and Harlem also. So like we're all kind of, this is like a central location.
Sure.
You know how it is when you're, like you said, you're in the metro area. We seem to meet up at this Wegmans all the time. I don't know. Everybody's obsessed with Wegmans. The only one for 150 miles. I don't know what the deal.
Oh, my God. It's a huge deal. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm not freaking out about it.
It feels a little like cultish, Wegmans, to me. But
yeah. It's a supermarket. Things like that, they're hyped up a little too much for me. I'm like, oh, this is going to be, there's going to be a sushi restaurant in every corner of this Wegmans, the supermarket. And then it's just the supermarket. Like, all right. You can eat here too. Fine.
I remember it was a huge deal, the one that they just opened up along like the waterfront in Brooklyn somewhere.
Oh.
It was like a huge deal. I think it was in like the Navy Yard or something like that.
Yeah, right. Well, Brooklyn obsesses about that. Are you going to move to the Navy Yard? Perfect for you. Perfect for you. They just got a Wegmans.
Just my luck.
I know. Navy Yard seems like a crazy place. Navy Yard is one of these places like my dad will be in Brooklyn anytime if we're in Brooklyn or whatever. Or even Manhattan. Yeah, we were like walking around Manhattan, but somebody started talking about the Navy Yard and how it's like changing. And he's like, back in my day, the Navy Yard was a hellhole. It was the port to hell. It was, exactly. He's like, the government, they wanted everyone to move to the Navy Yard back in the 70s. It took them 50 years. No, I don't know. Imagine if I had moved to the Navy Yard, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know if you would have liked it or not. I can't tell anymore. I don't think you would have. But I don't know. Warwick's, so it's a small town.
It's small. You know, like, its biggest thing is this thing coming up to called Apple Fest every year. The first Sunday of October, the town, like, doubles in size with everyone coming in to, like, do fall things. It's a cute place to grow up. I wouldn't want to live there again now, but I like visiting and, you know, it's pretty.
Apple's a good place for Apple Fest. Sounds like a great weed place, honestly. Just to say, there should be an apple carving station at Apple Fest just for all the stoners that are coming. You'll triple the population if you could have that vendor. I guarantee it, Warwick. Think about it.
Carve out the little like apple, what are those? Apple bonds? Apple bonds. Yeah.
Apple pipe, yeah. Apple. Apple you pipe, do all sorts of. I've seen an apple one hitter. No,
oh my God.
No, I don't know.
It's got to be out there.
I did see a really cool weed thing last week at Weeding Out the Stoned. We were smoking before the show, and somebody brought a cigarette holder, a wooden, handmade cigarette holder for, you know, a joint or a roach, and it
like
was
like a Hunter S. Thompson kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looked like a mini like cane, like a beautiful like carved wooden.
Wow.
You know,
love
thing.
It.
Yeah, everybody was obsessed with it. Like, where did you get that? He's like, some vendor, he was like, I bought three right away. Great.
You know, it's funny. I feel like maybe I was just like a young, like high school kid or in my early 20s smoking weed and I didn't notice this was like a thing and maybe it's always existed, but like, I feel like I've noticed a lot more like craft behind and artistic work behind a lot of these pieces and stuff. Like I went and I broke a bowl recently and I went to a head shop like up in the Adirondacks and went in there and was just looking around and like looking at all these different pieces done by artists that all had their own style. They like all looked like they belonged together. And the guy behind the counter was able to be like, oh yeah, this guy, this artist is from here. He was just at a show over here. You can follow him on his Instagram. This is his handle and stuff. And I just like never remembered that being a thing a long time ago.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, no, I've seen a couple like here and there, mostly with glass blowing, I feel like, is when I started to notice it. Or it would be like people would 3D print. I remember that being a thing where somebody was like 3D printing a bunch of pipes and selling them at some show or something. But now there's a lot of vendors, like vendor fairs and like legal states. That's like kind of become a bigger thing. And just even being able to get into the business and be like, oh, this can be my artistic medium because it's legal. I mean, when you go to a head shop for the longest time, it'd be like, here's a pipe that's like, basically glass, the thinnest glass in the world that'll burn your hand in 5 seconds. It's
I always felt like kind of sketchy. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We all know what we're doing here, but this is just for tobacco, right? And like, right. I don't know. I think a lot of that stigma is kind of gone, and you can go in there and just talk more openly. Or I don't know. Maybe I just felt awkward about it because I was like a kid and felt like I was breaking the law. But
yeah. That's one of those things. Like, in 5 years, if you see for tobacco use only sign, you're going to be like, whoa, what a throwback.
You're right. Yeah.
They still have that up. You know, clean the store, take some inventory of your signage. Yeah. That's so funny. I mean, it is like head shops have just, I love that head shops are probably not going to go away. You know, head shops have existed for decades. They've always been roughly the same type of thing. Now they're like our new ones and they're a little bit nicer, but it's still like where you're going to, like a lot of the New York area in New York State, New Jersey, maybe Connecticut, like it seems like the dispensary thing is going to be more for medical marijuana. And head shops are just going to have joints available and stuff like that. Or you can buy an eighth or something. And it's like you can buy, might be overpriced. You might have to find like the best low place, but like some very convenient nightlife areas are going to just have a head shop that sells weed.
Yeah, like a weed bodega or something where you just like, get what you need. Like, sure, it's a little overpriced, but you can get anything you want, that full package. And yeah.
I think the bodega thing too, they'll have a just, you know, jar of joints, you know.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. Just like you would a bubble gum, you know, or something that. Buy it by the fucking box or whatever. That's what they're going to do. Yeah, you know, I think it's good. We're going to see all that kind of thing. And you know, dispensaries will exist in one capacity, one form, if you want to buy in bulk, just like a beer distributor or something like that, you know, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's out there. I think I just love that head shops are still going to like exist, that's not like a business that's like, oh, now that it's legal, this is useless. And it really was for tobacco use only, you know, some stupid thing like that.
I'm with you.
I don't know. You think is let me ask something else about Warwick. Of course, is Warwick the sort of town that you think they're gonna opt in or opt out of?
All right, I could see it going either way, honestly, but if I was to put money on this, I would say they'd opt out.
Yeah, right, small town.
Yep.
My hometown, they opted out already in Massachusetts. That's where I grew up. It's Concord, Mass. And they're just one of these historic, there's not even really a bar in town. You know, the idea that they would have been like, weed. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of dumb stuff. There's a thing, it's an old, you know, they've got this old, talk about signage. They got a thing about signs, something about signs having, you know, they can't look a certain way or they have to look a certain way.
Oh my God.
A Dunkin' Donuts moved in. And Dunkin' Donuts is Massachusetts. There's Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. So, like, of course, Dunkin' Donuts is a, you know, orange and pink sign. This will, the colors that they use.
That's their brand.
That's their brand. These are the color schemes. So then, but the town was like, nah, you can't do that. It's too bright or something like that.
Wow.
So it's, in our town, it's like blue and white in its location. I think it's because it's like right downtown, but it's like, good God. They got a lot of weird blue laws like that.
It's the same in Warwick too. It's just like this old historic place, and like, you know, they're always trying to preserve the charm, and there's like a lot of like conservative values and things like that. So like, you know, I mean, growing up there, like dealing with police and weed and stuff like that, it's not like, you know, I just don't think it's going to change very quickly just because the law did.
Did you ever get busted in Warwick or anything like that, or caught?
Never in Warwick. I got away from getting caught a few times. I did get caught in New Jersey.
Right over the town line.
Yeah, which was worse off. It was harsher penalties in New Jersey at the time than New York.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, New York is kind of like on the line a little bit of like whether it was decriminalized. It was kind of a gray area at times.
Yeah, you know? I feel like I remember like, if I remember correctly, like you could get what was called like a UPM. Is that what it was called? Like a unlawful possession of marijuana if it was like less than, not that much, you know, even less than like 50 grams or something like that. It was like not bad. Like no one in high school had that much weed on them generally. So you would just get like a little fine mostly, maybe like, you know, as long as you don't get caught doing anything else, then they'll just like waive away that case or something like that. But New Jersey at the time, I got busted for just having a bowl, just for paraphernalia.
Wow.
And I was arrested, like, you know, full on mugshot, like all that stuff.
What?
And then had to go to court. And then I was on like a, not exactly like a probation, but something like that for like 3 months. It was wild for a bowl.
Full on mugshot. That is crazy. That's a story for a bowl. Yeah, that is a story nobody's going to have in the future. You know what I mean?
I know. I
yeah, know. That goes with you. Like you and who knows, however many, you know, people trespassing in New Jersey or whatever. You're not even allowed to go over the town line. No.
I know. And I mean, like for us, it's kind of silly how we got caught. We were like, we were driving my friend to the airport, and I think one of my friends had like rolled a blunt in the back, and he had all the Dutch guts and the frisbee, and I had missed an exit. Like we were just about to go over the George Washington Bridge where we would be in New York, and I was turning around in a gas station. My friend rolled down the window and just tossed all the Dutch guts out of the frisbee, and they landed on the windshield of the police car directly behind
us. You are kidding. That is amazing. That's out of a movie.
Yeah, I know.
Man, throw the Dutch guts in a plastic bag next time.
Yeah, you got a littering ticket for that as well, too.
Oh, littering for Dutch guts. It's biodegradable. That's like a banana peel, you know? That is hilarious. Onto the windshield. Like, you know, that cop was like, these idiots, you know?
These fucking morons.
Like, I'm just mad I got to clean this up. Like, he's so pissed about that.
He's getting a littering ticket.
littering ticket no matter what. Oh, you got pot in the car? Oh, dude, you guys are screwed.
That wasn't fun.
Oh, dude, that sucks. Yeah, man. Yeah. So then you moved to New York City right away?
Yeah. That happened, like, maybe just a few months before I moved down to the city. And, I've been here since.
Man, that's so crazy. Yeah, so and you went to school here.
Yeah, I went to school here. I went to school at the new school. I did like a undergraduate program there and an undergrad program. And I worked there for a bit. I spent like 10 years at the new school in the Village.
Well, you worked at the new school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And it was a good time. It was like a big chunk of my life, like 10 years. It was like kind of my, second home or like, the most familiar thing I had in New York. But I haven't been there for a few years, and that's good. It was enough time to be at one place.
Yeah, that's a long time to be putting somewhere. That's a great place to work, I bet, or hopefully.
Yeah, it is. It is. Cool. It is. It's got a great atmosphere. Yeah, great area, exactly. Like, I don't live in the Village, but I still find myself going there all the time just because I know it so well, and there's a lot to enjoy there.
Yeah, exactly. I love that you're like, I'm from New York State. I've lived in New York for 14 years. I worked at a college, a university that's very New York in the West Village. Know it like the back of my hand. Yeah. Oh, but I'm not really from here.
Other thing, too, is that my other side gig is I'm actually a tour guide. Like, I'm a historic walking tour guide. Throughout the city. Yeah. So I've been doing that for like 6 years, too. So like, I do have a pretty intimate like knowledge of New York and stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite thing. I love that. I would do that for free. That's so great.
Yeah. It's such a ball. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what tours do you do?
Yeah, they're like historic tours, like all through. I think I know maybe like 11 or so.
Walking tours,
but yeah, walking tours. They're all like a couple hours and like through just various neighborhoods, talk about the history, architecture, development, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
It's fun, man. I enjoy it.
That is so great. Let me guess one. Let me see. Here's a neighborhood. I think you might be walking around Murray Hill. No, I'm kidding. It's boring. No, I don't know. Is there a West Village one?
Yeah. There's a Greenwich Village one. It includes the West Village and Greenwich Village. It's super fun. I like the Seaport. I like walking people around the Seaport. That's
cool.
Cool story.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So you do like Battery Park? Is that a part of the Seaport, or is it?
I don't go down there myself, but yeah, there are tours for that. But I'm not usually making it down that far. But
there are ones up by you. Is there like a Cloisters one?
The closest is Harlem. I do that one as well too, but nothing above that.
That's cool, though, man. Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah. How many people go on the tour?
Anywhere from, like, I've had one person to, like, 26. It could be anywhere in between.
Oh, the one-person one's got to be good. I like that one.
It's a little awkward sometimes.
Come on.
I like 5 to 8 I think is like perfect, because then people feel like a little more comfortable to like ask questions, and you don't feel like you constantly have to be talking to that one person for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, like 5 to 8 I think is nice. Once it's like more than that, then people start to feel a little more shy and don't really like interact as much or ask questions. They feel like they're, you know, vulnerable and putting themselves out there in front of other people. So, you know, there's a sweet spot for it.
Are people ever just like, I have a question, what street is this?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fun. You know, I have noticed like more New Yorkers are on the tours these days. And I guess that's maybe because like, you know, it even did start before COVID, but especially now because of it, people are bored and just looking for something to do. And I think it's a good thing for New York. You know, you never explore where you live, right? Like that's just something you tend to not do, but I always appreciate it when folks from the city are on these tours.
That's so cool. I like the one person one. I feel with one person, are you ever just like, hey man, you want to go see a movie?
I did give a tour recently where afterward, I think it was like, no, there's a decent amount of people on it, but the one of the guests afterward was just like, hey, do you want to like, we're going out to lunch. Do you want to come with me? And then, yeah, I went and got lunch with them afterwards. It was the first time this ever happened in like 6 years. They like bought me lunch. And then she was like, do you get high? And we like, went and smoked a joint afterward.
The best.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun little tip.
That is the coolest. Yeah, exactly. I was wondering that too. If ever somebody just smoked you up because of the tour.
Just the once.
That's so cool. I once did a tour. I wasn't giving the tour, but I was in New Orleans and we did a ghost tour like they do down there. Super fun. And there was one on Bourbon Street. There was a guy smoking a joint and I just was like, hey, can I jump in on that? And he like, I just separated from the tour for 30 seconds. So I fucking passed this back and forth with this guy that was like, all right, I gotta go look at ghosts.
That's the best.
Oh, it was so fun. Yeah, that's what
definitely
you're like.
Pre-pandemic activity.
This was yesterday. No, it was pre-pandemic for sure. I know. It's hard to, I know. I've seen recently, I saw this pretty sweet pack of kind of J's that was so like, instead of being a huge J, it was these like short guys where it was almost like filter, normal size filter, and then like maybe twice as much filter, like barely. Yeah. It was kind of one of these things like, boom, you just pass that around you like pass around the whole jar and then like everyone gets their own little guy. It was like, oh, that's a
I love
great
that.
Idea.
It is great. You know, like it sucks when you like have to put out a joint and there's still so much left and like someone has to care for it or like whatever, you know, it's a lot better just like be done with it, a smaller dose. And then, you know,
I'll never
have another one later on.
Right. I'll never have to say I'm good on that.
Yeah,
phrase is gone.
Yeah.
With those little guys. I don't know. Yeah, pretty sweet, man. That's cool. So I don't know. So yeah, you've been how long have you been up in Inwood?
Five, six years, something like that. Yeah.
Whoa.
Like 5, 6 years. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's beautiful, man.
That...
It's really beautiful up here. It's just the joke is that it's upstate Manhattan because it is like pretty far. But there's a forest here that's like, it's the last natural forest in Manhattan. It's along the Hudson. It's really pretty.
Whoa.
It feels like kind of small towny, sort of, you know, for like a spot in Manhattan.
For Manhattan. Right. Exactly. That's the thing about Manhattan. I mean, about New York in general, like, you know, you can drive deep in Brooklyn or wherever, Manhattan, Queens, of course, everywhere. And just be like, oh my God, I can't believe this was here. I mean, going to Staten Island for people in New York is like incredibly mind blowing. They're like, this is New York City. And it's huge.
It's so massive.
Staten Island is also extremely big.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to discover. There's always more to discover. That's the thing about New York City, baby.
I know.
Philly's great too, though. No, I'm kidding. I don't even live in either of these places. I live in Jersey. And I like it here.
Where are you living in Jersey? You said Jersey City, right?
I live in Jersey City, and it's pretty great.
That's nice there.
We take it. Jersey City's a weird place. Jersey City's the sort of place where you're like, you move here, and then your dad tells you that your grandfather actually was born in Jersey City. You know, everybody's got that story. I've got that story. That's what my dad did.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, actually, my father was born there. You're like, what?
You know, it's funny you say that. Like, when we moved, apartment moved into Inwood, into our first apartment up here, we were telling my family about it. And, you know, And I had known that a number of my cousins and like older, you know, like great uncles and stuff like that were from Inwood. And he was just talking about like all the trouble he used to get into as a little kid when his dad was like the super of the building we lived in, like breaking into candy stores and things like that. And he's like, anyway, that's when I lived at such and such address, which happened to be the building that we had just moved into. It was like a wild coincidence.
But... Unreal. That is amazing. See that? And you still, you won't call yourself a New Yorker. Still to this day. It's the most New York story of all time. Your legacy. It's Inwood legacy. Amazing.
I feel like when a number, like enough New Yorkers, like native New Yorkers, refer to me as a New Yorker, then maybe I'll feel like, you know, like earning a nickname or something like that. You know, I don't think I can give it to myself.
Yeah, earning a nickname. Yeah. That's great. Old New Yorker Kieran. Come on. What a nickname. It's kind of long for a nickname, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got this weird story similar to that address thing. That, you know, I was walking through New York with my dad. My dad's one of these guys. So I'm always talking about with New York. Anyway, he owned a printing business. He like bought a printing business, like worked nice. There. And then like, yeah, in the early 70s, like that's where he you know, worked right out of, mm-hmm. you know, becoming an adult. And yeah. So then he wound up like buying into it. And so he like told me all this stuff about like this, where it was, you know, and mm-hmm. we were walking by. He's telling me all this stuff about it and all these different stories. And he's telling me about like, you know, breaking walls down and, you know, changing the space and, you know, blah, 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 all these different stories about it. And, he's like, you know, eventually bought the whole printing business in Manhattan, you know, he's like, everything here was printing or it was twine or it was ink, you know? Yeah, exactly. He's like, trucks up and down. Everyone hated us. This was an Italian restaurant we ate at. It was mob run, you know, like white, literally. He's like, mob guy used to come over and be like, you know, hey, you got to pay us so the better. You got to use us for waste management. You know, he's got those kinds of stories about this place. So anyway, and then he's like, got all these stories about this, you know, we're looking at this, you know, fifth story, top floor of this big building in like Tribeca. And he's like, yeah, some rapper lives there now. Somebody like Jay-Z lives there.
Yep.
And we looked it up and Jay-Z lives there. It is the apartment that Jay-Z lives in. It's crazy. I don't know.
Not a surprise.
It's New York City. I mean, yeah.
Totally.
My boy.
All those old, like, industrial sorts of spaces all just became, like, super hip. That's the story of Soho and then, like, everywhere else in turn. And, yeah.
Exactly.
That's luxury loft housing.
That whole area. I know. And it's so crazy to look at. I mean, you know, it's crazy to look at a lot of these buildings that you're like, I know that's luxury now, but it clearly was built to be some other weird thing. And then you'll see so many buildings that are, like, some hybrid. I mean, it just keeps going. I mean, New York is a cyclical place. I love the architecture. I love that you do tour that's like architecture and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Architecture is so cool in New York. And I mean, it's always interesting to look at and learn about and such. So what, can I ask you a question now that, we're talking about like, you know, Mafia came up and you're in Jersey. Are you a Sopranos fan?
Oh, yeah. Well, I watched the Sopranos once we moved here. Honestly, we moved to Jersey. I'd lived in New York City and Philadelphia. We moved to the place in between and I was like, I don't know anything about New Jersey. I don't know shit. So I watched Sopranos pretty quickly after moving here. Went right through it. Obviously, you're like, you know, this is one of the best TV shows of all time. Just like everyone said. Yeah. Right. Shocking. Oh, who knew? Yeah. And you know, we live, I use it as a reference point, of course, for a bunch of stuff, but they were so good about that on that show of being like, New Jersey, our setting is New Jersey, not just one town or five towns. They're so good at that.
And they really
are. Yeah, they were phenomenal. So everywhere's a landmark, you know, for the Sopranos. Like, we live in the opening, I mean, we're like, you know, Jersey City in general, but like towards Journal Square where we are, the very opening on the theme, it's like, it's literally like the third frame. It's like, you know, it's or whatever. It's like the third shot. It's like the Holland Tunnel. And then boom, you're at the cemetery that's like right around the corner from us. And that's the same cemetery they bury every family member, you know? Wow. So they're in that cemetery and it's like, I mean, I can basically look out the window and see it.
Yeah.
So I love The Sopranos. You're a fan as well?
Oh my God. Yeah. So this was actually just like a quarantine project of mine. Like I hadn't seen it until April 2020. And I mean, I brought this up because like I'm really excited about the Many Saints of Newark coming out soon.
I also have not yet seen that, and I'm excited to see it.
I think October 1st, I think it comes out.
So oh, I thought it was already out.
Wait.
I don't follow. I'm enough, but I see a lot of ads.
Yeah. I think I'm just following so much because I literally just finished it like, you know, a year ago or something like that. And really,
yeah,
enjoyed
that's
it.
Great. Yeah, no, I definitely was great. Love the Sopranos. I mean, anything that's like Jersey, you know, you start getting into it. Like I'm not a, you know, I mean, I was a big Kevin Smith guy. You start realizing like what you know about Jersey.
Yeah.
And this stuff. And now I know a bunch of really random stuff. Like there's some great stuff. Like there was this magazine, I guess it's now a website, but it's just called Weird New Jersey, Weird NJ.
Yeah. So I remember that.
Awesome. Great wealth of information.
Yeah. I used to, so like I said, I grew up like right on the border of Jersey. So like there was a weird New Jersey spot that was right on the other side of the state line that we used to go to with a creepy story and stuff and
that's
get
great.
Stoned and try and make it happen. Yeah. I love that book.
That's so fun. Yeah. Yeah. And like Jersey City's been great. We just love it here. I mean, it's like, it's one of these weird, like nicknamed towns. It's also coming into its own. It's got history. This is one of my favorite things. I tell people this all the time. But like right when we moved here. So one of the first things I did was I volunteered at WFMU twice. But I mean, nice. like the second day we moved up, I like had That's already awesome. Set up. I was going to volunteer there for the day, and, you know, just to like hang out there because it's such a cool place. And see what's going on, meet those guys. They were all great. Some nice. But that first day. You know, you're downtown Jersey City. You're right by the post office. You're next to the post office in their building. They have, and it's WFMU. It's like a freeform radio station. It's so cool. It's, you know, it's like,
yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's the best. It's like 91.1, I think, or something like that. And it's just, they play, I mean, it's volunteer DJ. So people play like whatever they want. It's all weird. It's all, it's very cool.
Shit. Wow. That's really cool. I got to listen to this.
Oh yeah. It's great. Yeah. WFMU. Super good. They, you know, do pledge drives all the time and everybody that works there is awesome. And they even had a venue and actually we did called Monty Hall. It's on Montgomery Hall, but like it's named after the game show host Monty Hall, you know, it's like a joke.
Yeah.
Beautiful little space, and like we did Weeding Out the Stone there 3 times, like right pretty much right when I moved up, you know, I was able to make that connection, and we did some great shows. They're so cool. I mean, they, you know, they're like a nonprofit, like they're doing the hard kind of stuff, you know.
So
they, and they've been around a long time. Like I think they're the oldest freeform radio station still operating. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's so cool. 91.1, you said.
They're amazing. I mean, it's WFMU. You can listen to them on the internet.
True.
You know? 91.1. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So anyway, they're so phenomenal. And we're on Montgomery, downtown Jersey City, on like the fourth floor or whatever, and they're talking about Jersey City, and this one guy points outside and goes, hey, have you seen the movie Sid and Nancy from the 80s? Like 80 or whatever, 82. And I was like, yeah, I've seen Sid and Nancy. He's like, you know, at the very end, Sid Vicious is walking around. It's Gary Oldman. But he's like walking around. He's eating a slice of pizza. And then he walks out of the pizza place. And it's just like a shack, burnt out cars, tire fires, like all around him, like dirt roads. There's like you can see the World Trade Center in the background and like the Hudson River. And like, it's just like, you know, broken down piers, and it's nothing. It looks terrible. It looks like a fucking wasteland. And he's like, that's where you're standing. Like, literally where the pizza thing was is, and he like points out to like the corner of the street. You're like, it's parking lots and skyscrapers. And like, I mean, it's bustling business district and residential city area. So weird.
Like, it's kind of absurd how fast that transition is, you know, like especially along the waterfront or something like that. But, you know, that's crazy to consider that was, when was that made? You said the early 80s?
Early 80s is when the movie came out. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's crazy. You're right. How fast that stuff happens. Oh, it's 86 is when it's, so it's not even, jeez. I mean, talking about faster is when this happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
bananas.
I know. I mean, I've heard a lot of that is like landfill. I mean, it's so like putting stuff up is amazing. I mean, it's just like there's so much going up all over. I was thinking today, like, we live now next to this hole in the ground, really. And I've looked it up, like, what it's going to be. And it's, like, some four-tower condo and with a pedestrian plaza. It's, like, right on the cliff of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what it was like, a 100-year-old macaroni factory.
Whoa.
And Stanley, like, took all that down. And now that's going to be some crazy multi-tower thing. Unreal.
Yeah, it is. It is. All these industrial spaces, there, nothing's being made there anymore. So.
It's, I know. It's so hard to be from somewhere. Everywhere changes instantly. Good God.
You're right. Yeah. It'd probably be weird to live in a place that never changes.
Never changes. You're still working at the macaroni factory, just like your great-great-grand cousins or whatever, or something, Will. And God. I don't know. Well, we should probably wrap up. Do you want to plug anything, Kieran? I mean,
let's see. So, yeah, I'm a podcast producer. You can always reach out to me at on Instagram. I'm at Kieran Gannon. That's K-I-E-R-A-N-G-A-N-N-O-N. And my email is kieran.j.gannon@gmail.com. If you ever have any podcast questions or anything like that, you need some help, feel free to reach out.
Bam. Heck yeah. Thank you guys for listening. You know, like and subscribe, share it, all that stuff. Leave us a review. This was Weeding Out the Stone. You can find Weeding Out the Stone info at live.weedingoutthestone.com. We're also at Weeding Out the Stone on Instagram, at Weeding Stoned on Twitter, or on Facebook and YouTube, all that stuff. So, so we've also got t-shirts for sale and all sorts of great stuff. So, like, you know, check us out. Upcoming shows will be announced soon. I believe we're going to New England and we'll always be in New York. And I believe we're going back to Philly. But, you know, let us know if you want us to come to your town. Well, let us know where you are. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay hopeful out there that legal marijuana is coming to America. Maybe Amazon will finally get it done. We'll see how that goes. And if you got them, smoke them. You know how it goes. Peace.
Oh, yeah. Peace. All these people standing around.